This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Sun's out, at least in my neck of the woods. It's nice to see some sunshine today. After all that rain, we set another record. Every May has been the wettest May the last 3 years. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it is. It has been awful, but the sun is out here as well. It's not as warm as I would like it, but I'm not going to complain.
Right, and hopefully the sun will be out for sports coming soon. We're talking about baseball's return, hockey in these regional cities, maybe NBA and Disney World. And then what will the football season look like? And what will everything look like, really? Will training camps get off to a slower start? Will they have to renegotiate everything? It's very interesting on what's going on right now in the land of sports.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There are so many hurdles that need to be cleared. And I think football has an advantage over some of the other sports because they have time on their side, as I said, with training camps not starting until the middle to the late to the end of July. They've got a little bit of an advantage over some of the other professional leagues.
One of our favorite guests that we have put on several times throughout the years when he was at ESPN is a Hall of Famer, and he's got a brand new podcast called Inside Football with Bill Polian, and it's available on iTunes and any other place that listeners download podcasts. Bill Polian joins Waddle and Sylvie right now on ESPN 1000. Bill, how you feeling? Are you happy with the podcast game?
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you for the plug, and great to be with you guys again. It's interesting. It's something that obviously I didn't know a lot about and hadn't had a lot of experience with, but it's kind of fun because it's long form and it gives you an opportunity to wade into a lot of details that otherwise wouldn't be coverable. So that's fun, and you know, we're attacking a lot of different subjects. Trying to help listeners figure out how the sausage is made in the NFL, which is, as Tom knows, very complex and doesn't get covered very much. So hopefully we can provide a service for real football fans.
Bill, how do you feel the NFL did with the free agency period and then the draft? Have they done things in the way that you would say thumbs up to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two thumbs up. I was concerned about free agency simply because at a time that the country was suffering so badly, you know, people were signing contracts that were beyond anybody's imagination. That said, I think it went very, very well, much better than I expected. And the draft was clearly a home run. There was no question that the country in general, in the sports world in particular, was ready for some uplifting news at a time when the news was just getting worse and worse by the day. And the way ESPN and the NFL Network, and especially ESPN crew handled it, the production crew handled it, was terrific. And we didn't see the red carpet and the $3,000 suits, which for my taste, we can do without forever. And certainly wouldn't have been appropriate at the time. And we still got a good show and got an inside look at how the general managers work because they were all at home and not in the draft room.
Right. Bill Polian joining us, Hall of Famer, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. For as long as we've had these conversations, when we go to the Bears, we always talk about our quarterback because it's still never truly been solved, Bill. Do you believe that they brought in Nick Foles to start and not necessarily compete?
No, I think they brought him in to compete. Now, I think he'll have an edge simply because he's so experienced and because he's got some chops in the locker room. You know, he's got a ring, which is and through his own doing, and he's got a reputation around the league as not only being a winner but a good teammate and a guy that is tough as nails. You know, when you see him up close and personal, you're not going to be really impressed. He's not a big physical guy, but man, I'll tell you, he is tough. And so that's going to stand him in good stead. And as you know, Tom, that means a lot. So I think he has some advantages, but I think they're still going to give Trubisky a chance to win the job. And it's also, you have to note that you know, there have been injuries with Nick. So, I mean, if I were Trubisky, I'd get myself ready to play as though I were going to be a starter and not worry about anything else.
How much of a problem, Bill, is the fact that teams have not had the opportunity to have contact in person with their players? And when you evaluate the quarterback position with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, how that may be highlighted in that situation as well?
Well, I don't think the evaluation is a big problem. I think we've got some interesting questions to ask when we finally finish the preseason and get into the regular season. The first question is going to be, how did we do injury-wise? Because, as you know, there are always injuries in OTAs. And they're, in my view and the view of probably every general manager, they're needless. Did we come? You know, we won't have any OTAs, that's for sure. So, do we get through this obviously with less injuries, and does that translate into the regular season? Secondly, will the players be ready to go whenever it's time to put the pads on? Now, they're not going to go out there the first day and go put the pads on. That won't happen at all. But you know, are they staying in shape? I certainly think the virtual meetings are really good. I hear nothing but rave reviews about that from people that I talk to around the league. So I think that'll be fine. The question is, can you get enough work? And when you're talking about a competition, do you get enough reps to determine? Obviously, with both Nick and Trubisky, they probably, Trubisky in particular, they probably would like as many reps as they can get, and they'll be missing some OTA reps without question. So, but and that again may inure to Nick's favor. I'm not sure. Certainly, he'll learn the offense fast enough, but he's going to have to learn the receiving personnel too, which is a different story. Yeah. So, Bill, we'll see. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah, yes. For sure. We are tuned in. Bill Polian joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Let me ask you this, Bill. Whenever they can start, let's say it's delayed a little bit, and you get into a training camp, could the NFL ever do what college does and just say, look, when we get the green light, we've got to play and we can't get bogged down in exhibition play because we don't know about a second wave? Can you ever envision the league starting without the preseason?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The preseason is easily sacrificed. You would like to have, you know, two or three preseason games to evaluate your squad and get ready to go. But, you know, if that doesn't happen because of an exigent circumstance and COVID is anything, if not that, you know, no problem. But we'll go and play. It will hurt rookies' opportunities to win jobs, I think, particularly undrafted rookies. But bottom line is, if you're playing without fans and you're playing in a semi-bubble, you may have larger rosters, too, to accommodate players. Who, as Dr. Sills, the medical director, said yesterday, they anticipate positive tests. So you may see expanded rosters, expanded practice squads in that situation. So it'll all be dependent on testing. It'll all be dependent on how quickly the virus diminishes or we can get a handle on it. And that could very well remove the preseason. But who cares in that situation? As long as we get to play safely, that's the most important thing.
Bill, do you foresee a situation that could be a bit of a messy situation? I know that the players and the owners have agreed on a 10-year extension of the CBA, but if for whatever reason the revenue, is, which we expect to be hit significantly if fans are not in the stands, what type of issues may the NFL face going forward?
Well, I saw somebody in the blogosphere raise that issue a couple of weeks ago, and it was clearly... The person that wrote it was clearly ignorant of how the CBA works. They have smoothed the cap. That's the phrase that's used many times in the past. And so what would happen here is that both sides would sit down. They would come to an agreement as to how the cap, how much money was going to be in the cap in the years going forward. And they'd put a little more money in this year's cap if revenue was down, and take a little more out in the future when revenue is supposed to increase and clearly will increase with new television contracts. COVID's not going to be around forever. So it's easily done. It's a negotiation. It's put into the CBA via what's called a side letter, which is literally that. It's a letter that is attached to the CBA, which says for the season of 2020, because of exigent circumstances, the cap will be as follows, and it will be, the money will be replaced accordingly in the years ahead. That's been done before, and it will be done again.
Bill Polian joining us. It's Waddle and Selvey on ESPN 1000. I want to ask you about the Aaron Rodgers situation. If the Bears still don't have a quarterback in 2 years, I am going meathead on you, Bill, and say that I am hoping that I could see Brett Favre reincarnated where he would play for a division rival. How do you believe the Aaron Rodgers story will play out?
I don't know, honestly. Certainly we know there'll be 2 years in Green Bay for him, because the cap ramifications of releasing him would be pretty tough. But in 2 years from now, who knows? It's entirely possible that he may want to play somewhere else. Certainly Tom Brady did. So if Tom can, anybody can. And secondly, going to a division rival would probably make some sense to him, but that will be Aaron's choice, and we'll see. Now, on the other hand, it may well be that he plays great for the next 2 years, and the Packers say, here we go, here's a new contract, let's go and finish it out there. We'll see.
You mentioned Tom Brady. How do you believe the Tom Brady as a Buccaneer experiment will go?
Well, I think it'll go fine as long as he and Gronk stay healthy, and that's the big issue, because at his age and at Gronk's age, there are always injury concerns. You worry about it. And then hopefully he stays healthy. But, the question is, with Gronk, will he play more than 12? He hasn't done that for 4 or so years. But typically, if you look back in history, players like this, elite players who change teams after a long and successful career, typically have one great year when they change, and then it turns down after that. So might that happen here? History would tell you that it probably will. But if you're a Buck fan, you have to say, let's have them healthy all year. If they are, it'll be an exciting year in Tampa Bay, I think.
Yep.
Bill, we always appreciate the time. The podcast is called Inside Football with Bill Polian. iTunes, any other place you get and download your podcast. This is great stuff with a Hall of Famer. You go deep inside the football and explain everything like you always have done for us through the years. And we always appreciate the relationship. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much. Great to be with you.
There you go. Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, former Colts general manager with the Bills, Carolina. Some great stuff always.
The CBA issue is really interesting to me, that they have something already in, and I don't know the full details, but he intimated to me that, you may not make the money now, but you'll be made good down the line.
Yeah, that is good. I know you're not happy with something that's been coming out here through the last week regarding our Bears, and I know you want to get after that.
Yeah,
we'll do that coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle, we always used to laugh at Lovie Smith when the Bears would be really good, and they would claim that everyone hates them and no one thinks they're good, and they would get the us against the world mentality.
Right.
But it was fake, right? I mean, most people give them credit.
Everyone was saying, hey, I got them at 12-4, they're going to win the division. But they used it as motivation.
But this year is different. It has surprised both of us. I got into a big debate with JD last week about these bottom feeder expectations over the Bears, and add Jason Lockenfora to the most recent prognostications.
Now I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it right here. It says 2020 NFL team tiers, according to NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. He's got a list of contenders, best of the rest, rebuilding and rebounding, stuck in limbo, and then the bottom. How on God's green earth do you have the Bears in the bottom category with the Giants, the Jets, the Jags, and the Redskins? You have a defense. I remind you, it wasn't as elite last year as they were in 2018. They gave up 17.6 or 8 points a game in 2018 and took the ball away 36 times. Last year, they gave up 18.5 points per game, only took it away 19 times. Didn't have the defensive touchdowns that they had the year before. They were the number 4 scoring defense in the league, and they added a professional pass rusher. And Akeem Hicks should be healthy. I don't handicap for injury. So Akeem Hicks should be healthy for the entirety of the season. That's the way I'm handicapping. How, with that in mind, I get it. The offense has not been what we wanted. Just if things don't go well, I still don't see this team, you know, holding court with the Giants, the Jets, the Jags, and the Skins. I just don't.
Right. And I don't think there's a great team in the division. And JD got mad at me about that because I said the Packers, to me, aren't a 13-3 team. Meller jumped on me. Abdallah jumped on me.
You needed
and then
some
I
back.
Said to them,
you need some backups. Starsky and Hutch. You needed Hutch.
I need
Starsky.
Yeah,
you needed Hutch to show up.
I like Hutch. I don't think I needed it. I mean, like, I felt good about my arguments. Like I said to them, I go, what's the Packers over-under this year? Do you know what it is, Waddle?
Let me say 10.5.
It's 9.
Really?
It's
well,
9.
That's because Vegas saw what we saw.
Yes, they don't believe in the Packers. The Packers weren't 13-3 good. Yes, they were last year. They had the wins. They won those games. The real games, they count. But I'm just telling you that I felt like that can't be duplicated by this Packers team.
I'm with you.
One that didn't add a first-round pick to help this year.
You guys, you're looking in the mirror, and you guys see Starsky and Hutch. I look in the mirror, or I'm looking over at you guys, and I'm seeing Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber, huh?
Blue shirt on, a blue suit on and an orange suit, my friend.
Yeah.
Listen.
And I look through the glass, and I see you and Abdallah and Chris Black. Haterade flowing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dance party going.
And you're a Nick Foles Kool-Aid drinking MF-er,
listen,
right?
Oh, listen. See, this is where nuance comes into the conversation. Every conversation has nuance. I'm just saying, Jeffrey, that they don't deserve to be placed in the bottom tier with the Giants, the Jets, the Jags, and the Redskins. If you want to put them in the middle.
What's the middle? So based on this, that would be stuck in limbo?
I think it's very fair to say they're stuck in limbo.
They're with the Texans, Rams, Bengals, Falcons, Pats, and Lions.
And by the way, how does Lockenfora suggest that the Texans are in limbo? They've been to the postseason in 5 of the last 6 seasons.
You know, they traded away DeAndre Hopkins for
a running back. But still.
The best news about this report was it was done by Jason Lockenfora. I felt good about it afterwards.
I'm just saying,
here's the thing, though. We seem to be doing this once a week now, where you guys are
there's a national mentality. Yes, there's a national mentality that the Bears suck. And that's my proclamation, okay? How's this for nuance? My proclamation on the 2020 Chicago Bears is the Bears don't suck.
I'm with you.
The Bears,
I got your
don't
back.
Suck. They don't suck.
Crockett and Tubbs reemerged. I got your back, Tubbs.
I'm not telling you to pack your bags for the Super Bowl, not that anyone can attend the Super Bowl to begin with.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that the Bears do not and will not suck.
I'm with you. I'm with you as well. I'm not even suggesting they're I have predicted 9-7, and they will compete for that wild card, one of the wild card spots. Now there's three. There's not two any longer. Could I see them at 10-6 in the postseason with a secured spot and not scrapping and clawing for one in the last week of the season? I can't. Can I see them at 6-10 if these quarterbacks, Mitch continues to do what he was doing, if he's given the chance, or Nick Foles gets hurt or doesn't play well, or that offensive line doesn't get better under the tutelage of a Juan Castillo? Yeah, I'll consent to 6-10. But, like, people are talking, like, who had him at 3-13? You don't.
That was the USA. USA Today.
You don't go 3-13 with Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, and Kyle Fuller on your defense. You just don't, especially when you're coming out of a pandemic where your defense is going to be ahead of your offense. Come on!
Okay, their defense may be ahead of the offense, but how good is their offense going to be?
Did you use the pandemic as an advantage, Bears?
I think he did.
I've been telling you that for a while. That the pandemic, you don't have your hands on your players. You're not getting all of the stuff that you need to get before the training camp starts. The defense, which is historically ahead of the offense, and that's not just football jargon to me. I believe in it. It's going to be significantly further ahead. I got Khalil Mack on one side. I got Robert Quinn on the other side. Do I have to worry about timing between quarterbacks and receivers? No. I put a T-bone steak around the quarterback's neck, and I turn two monsters loose after that steak, and they kill that quarterback.
Right.
But if the defense is already good, they don't need the extra incentive, or not incentive, but the extra advantage of the pandemic in their favor, because they're going to be good. The offense could probably use the time to get together.
I'm accentuating the positive is what I'm doing. And listen, I'm not arguing for 13-3, brother. I just don't get this thought process or this collective brainstorming that this team sucks at 3-13.
Say it with me, Maller. The Bears won't suck.
I don't know if I'm sold on that.
He's got him at 5-11.
Yeah, no, like, look, no, I would probably think they're more likely to be 6-10, 7-9, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if, because the strength of their team is their defense, if the offense doesn't gel, I could see them fading in the second half because the defense is just fed up with the offense and they don't get any, they're not complimenting them. So I could see the slide to like a 5-11, 4-12 season. I agree. I think 3-13 is probably, the dregs of the NFL. I don't think they end up there. But I think a five-win season isn't out of the realm.
Listen, don't get me wrong here. I'm not pushing my man boobs together and strapping them inside a halter top and shaking pom-poms for the team that's in burnt orange and navy blue. I'm not. I'm just resisting this thought that they suck.
In a year that Mitch Trubisky was a colossal failure, a year that earned him a trade for Nick Foles, a non-picking up of the fifth year, Matt Nagy's team still went 8-8.
I'm on record as saying it felt more like a 5-11 or 6-10 season. But you're right, they were 8-8.
He's still 20-12 over his 2 years that he's been here. So I feel like there are a lot of things that happened last year where you can say they were such a colossal failure and they still found a way to go 8-8.
That's all I'm arguing for. Like when I see 3-13, I just don't know. I don't know why that's kind of a consensus feeling for this team. Like I know why. It's because like the national perspective on Mitch has always been one of negativity and pessimism, and they've been right collectively more than the positive perspective from here in town with Bears fans. I get it. I mean, I think we've always known that the larger national media has been significantly less impressed with Mitch's effort, even in 2018.
312-332-3776 if you want to react to yet another national. The national media thinks the Bears will suck. do you?
Nick Foles, by the way, was 0-4 last year as the starting quarterback for the Jags.
I know.
The Jags did suck, though.
Again,
because Nick Foles was their quarterback.
Okay, Jeff,
right?
Again.
No,
okay,
he was hurt.
First game of the season, he breaks his collarbone.
Yeah, that's
okay?
The first game.
By the time he comes back, that Jags team is a hot, stinking mess.
Yes.
He comes back after the shoulder injury to a hot, smelly mess, a dumpster
fire. Yeah, you're right. Minshew Mania was all ablaze, and he couldn't...
It was.
Well, it was, yeah.
I'll bring up something for you about Foles. If you want to do a fair medium pick, I'll bring that to you with Foles.
Mel, you want me to buy your season tickets from you?
No one's going to any games next year.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, every time I do continue to make mistakes about like thinking about fans coming here and going there and being part of an equation, and somehow we're just gonna have to get through it without it.
By the way, I just want to give you a heads up. The Sylvie Strong T-shirts are selling like hotcakes right now.
Oh yeah, good. I'll tell people how they can get them too, and why we're selling them. All that next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, Meller.
The argument for Meller and I just continued to.
Did it? Were you guys yelling at each other during the break about the Bears?
Listen, I agree with Meller. Last year's 8-8 was a really soft 8-8. I just think that you know what I feel about the quarterback position. I believe Nick Foles is going to be their starter. I believe he's going to be better in that role. He's not going to look like Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be more efficient. He'll make fewer mistakes. I think the offense will run a little smoother.
And I agreed, and I said until he gets hurt.
And that's a fair point, but, you know, I have seen him play a full season in the past when he threw 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
He started 10 games that year. It wasn't a full season.
Well, why did he start 10 games? Did he get hurt or did he come in for somebody? Well, you got to have the answer. You can't just call.
Okay, you know what? Before I speak, it was 2013, the Eagles. I have to refresh my memory.
Started. Who were the other quarterbacks?
Was it Vic?
He was the starter.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, if it was Michael Vick, then he didn't start the season.
Yeah, Vick was the starter that year.
Okay. So
and then he went, what, 27-2, you said? What was that again?
That was Chip Kelly's offense.
So when Meller yells at me, well, he wasn't the full starter the full year. It wasn't because of injury. It was because
I know, but then after 2013, which has been now 7 seasons, or 6 full seasons, he has never started more than 11 games in a season.
The truth is somewhere in the middle, Meller. He's not 0-4 bad in Jacksonville, and he is not probably Super Bowl fantasy run like he was in Philadelphia. So where do we have the Bears at, like, 8-8? That's basically 8-8, 9-7.
And I think that's reasonable. I'm fighting for the reasonable narrative that Sylvie and I are selling right now.
And again, I'm more in line with it. I agree with you in the sense that he's definitely in the middle of that. And I think he's more likely to, he'll be better. The offense will be better next year. But I don't know. Can you count on him to finish the season as the starting quarterback? I know what you said, Wiley. You don't want to just assume injury for somebody. But I don't know.
That's
a red flag for me, is the fact that he's never really been a starting quarterback for
Mitch.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Your answer was better than my question. I will give you that.
Who will Nick Foles most resemble as a previous Bears quarterback? Which previous Bears quarterback is Nick Foles going to be?
Shane
Josh
Matthews.
McCown.
Boy, I would say what's the word? Like when you said Shane Matthews, I could see a little bit of that conservative nature, but better. He's better than Shane.
Yes. I like Shane. Shane is a good guy. Golf buddy of mine, but he's better quarterback than Shane.
I used to call him Plain Shane because the offense was so damn plain. You know?
Well, it mirrored his personality. He was very quiet and didn't have a lot to say.
Okay.
I was going to say Eric Kramer.
Eric Kramer, does he have the upside that Kramer had in 90? I guess he does. I mean, yeah. So,
how high an upside is a Super Bowl win?
Right, I know. I caught myself. That's not bad.
And I made this point the last week. What do you think Nick Foles, and I, like, again, this is completely your opinion, Waddle. Do you think Nick Foles, had Carson Wentz not led the Eagles to the record that they had in the first 15 games before he tore his ACL, do you think Nick Foles could have led that Eagles team to a Super Bowl the way he did?
No.
Say that again. Ask me the question.
Okay, so
again?
If Nick Foles was just the starter from the outset
right.
for the Eagles that season,
he played the entire season.
He played the entire season. They don't have Carson Wentz, who leads them to, like, I think a 13-2
record.
Why
did Carson Wentz was on track to be a
He was going to be the MVP
candidate.
That year.
Yeah.
Do you think Nick Foles still could have won the Super Bowl?
He did win the Super Bowl.
I know,
He's saying if he was the starter that year from day one, would they have been in that position? Because remember, Carson Wentz was one of the leaders for MVP that year. Get them.
Yeah, could he have been? Yeah, he could have. Maybe if we're playing the hypothetical game, maybe he had himself a Chip Kelly season. Don't know.
Okay, but be honest. Do you think? Because if you do, that's fine. That shows.
I think they could have been in the postseason, and once you get into the postseason, then you're in the tournament.
I feel like Nick Foles, I understand why Matt Nagy and everybody brought him in. He knows the offense, but I also think the Super Bowl win is clouding the judgment of the type of quarterback that I believe Nick Foles is going to be. I think he's going to be that more of a game manager than anything else, and that may be just what they need.
Yeah,
but it doesn't get me excited. And
by
I can
the way,
see the you know the especially because when we talk about them being 8-8, being less more like a 6-10, 5-11 season last year. I could see the fallback is all
okay.
Is where
this was
I go.
This was Nick Foles' season last year. Okay, the one that you called disastrous.
I did not say disastrous.
I think of the word.
I said he was 0-4.
They lost 40-26 to Kansas City. Started the game 5 of 8 for 75 yards. Threw a beautiful touchdown pass.
Right, that's what you got hurt on.
They crunched his shoulder. He came back against Indianapolis on November 17th and was cold. Hadn't played. 33 of 47 for 296 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. Like, Mitch didn't do that. Okay, and then against Tennessee, a playoff caliber team, 32 of 48 for 272. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but no horrible mistakes. And then against Tampa Bay, they just decided, look, all right, we're going to give Gardner Minshew an opportunity now. So, I mean, look, I don't look at the 2019 season and hold it against Nick Foles.
Those numbers scare me, Waddle, because you know Nagy, who says he's going to be committed to the run. You know with DeFilippo and Nagy, they're going to be throwing it 45 times because they think with Foles reading the defense correctly, it's a running game through the air.
I will tell you this. If all of the naysayers, okay, are right, A, I will admit I was wrong and I was drinking the Bears Kool-Aid as much as you can drink Kool-Aid for an 8-8 record. But I also will tell you, a 3-13 season, a 4-12 season will lead to significant change.
Yeah.
The whole place probably gets cleaned out.
I'm confident they won't be that bad. Matt,
or maybe everyone just is given a pass because of the season that was coronavirus.
Well, you just told us this should play in their favor, the pandemic.
Defensively.
Matt's in Orland
Park.
Don't
twist my words.
You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Really quick, off the top of my head, as far as who Nick Foles reminds me of, I thought Kyle Orton right away. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. I'll buy that.
And personally, this is not what I think, but let's say the Bears somehow, or whoever wins the Super Bowl this year, do you think people will put an asterisk next to the Super Bowl with everything that's going on, even though all the teams are going through the same thing? And I just want to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
I don't think there will ever be an asterisk against any of this. A, because if things go as planned, if they play an entire season even without fans in the stands, you'll remember that fans weren't in the stands, but you won't hold them against them. And there have been other scenarios in different sports where seasons have been interrupted because of labor disputes, where I can't even remember those disputes, yet you know who the champion of the season was.
Right. I think a hockey winner could, especially because there are teams who shouldn't make the playoffs who are going to. Maybe the NBA, because of momentum, people will say. I don't think the NFL will have that. I mean, maybe in a shortened season with baseball, but I'll take any sort of championship, asterisk or not. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I will absolutely love it. Yeah. How do you know that these shirts are selling like hotcakes? Earlier today, we announced that we've teamed with the V Foundation and also Obvious Shirts with my son's drawing of, the Sylvie Strong thing. And all of the proceeds are going to benefit cancer research for the V Foundation. So there are two different styles at obviousshirts.com. And again, we're hoping to sell 1,000 of these, and that will be a huge check to the V Foundation. How do you know that so many have been sold so far?
Well, first of all, I will take pride in thinking that I was the first to purchase. Second of all, I've seen people showing their receipts on Twitter.
Yeah. I've seen that
hotcakes.
Too. Yes.
Hotcakes.
It's a great shirt, like I said. The Obvious Shirt Company, it's a local. Joe does a great job. He lives in Northwest Indiana. He's a really good dude. He approached me with this idea. And we spun it into an idea where we can, let's do something good. If I'm going to go through this journey, let's raise money for the V Foundation, since I'm benefiting from all the research that's been accomplished in the fight against cancer. Let's pay it forward here. And I appreciate everyone helping out. ObviousShirts.com, and the Sylvia Strong campaign is right on that front page.
You better make sure to tell them to stock up on material, because they're going to continue to sell like hotcakes.
I hope so. Are you serious that you bought 10?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome, Waddle.
I may have bought more than that, too.
You may have bought more than 10?
I may have, yeah.
Where are you gonna put all these?
I don't know. You know what? For people that I believe deserve to wear it, maybe I will give them one.
That's awesome. See, you're Mr. Generous, as always. We'll take your Bears calls if you want, 332-3776. And I never understand this. The waiting in line thing, it was shown to me yesterday online, and I want to bring this to you guys. I don't understand when people wait in line for free stuff. That's coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Most lenders have tightened up their guidelines, but not at the Home Loan Expert. Their originating loans save their clients hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars a month. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan Kelly and crew going to hook you up like they did for me in my refinance just a few weeks ago for me. So I don't know if you guys saw it. I brought it up in the pre-show meeting. That, and kudos to Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme donut. You remember them, Waddle, don't you?
Of course, yes.
They did this promotion. Leo would qualify here. They were planning on giving a dozen donuts to graduates. If you graduated, these times have been tough.
Show us your diploma, you get a dozen donuts?
Something like that, yes. That you go and you prove it's a free graduate dozen promotion. It started yesterday, and at least in some places, I'm reading a story from Long Beach, California, where at 11:50 in the morning, hours after the promotion began, police had to shut it down because the line for a free dozen donuts went for a few miles long.
Listen, you know what I've always told you. Having worked at WGN, when we would give away free trinkets, right? Back in the day, don't you remember? We would give away free things.
Oh, yeah.
I used to say, you could light up the phone lines with 100 callers if you were offering bee stings and bags of poop, as long as it was free.
To. Yeah, right.
I'm just telling you, you say the word free and people get in their cars and they drive long distances. Now you add in donuts and it's not bee stings and bags of poop. And now I can see lines heading 5-10 miles down the road.
So, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, but I guess people rationalize, look, we're just sitting at home anyway. Why don't we just sit in car and wait for it? But, when you see that where don't you draw the line when you go to the Krispy Kreme and you see 8 cars or 9 cars that you just turn around and go home? People were waiting in line of a mile or two long.
What else you got to do?
Do you know how long a line of a 2-mile line could take?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw people say it was 3 hours.
What else are you doing? You're sitting around. I mean, one of the kids can maybe actually have their computer, or they could
Isn't your time worth more and just go to Dunkin' and pay for donuts? Do you know what I mean? Do you want donuts? Just go and pay. How much is a dozen donuts these days? I know times are tough. But to me,
$10?
Yeah. Is you're telling me 3 hours of your time is worth less than $10?
What if I got nothing else going on?
I mean, come on.
I'm not shocked. First of all, the word free makes people freak out. Then when you attach something delicious to it, free deliciousness, now I can understand the hysteria.
The truth is, though, like what was most surprising, Sylvie, is the willingness when you see how far the line extends in your car. It that's the part that's like, wow, really? Because it seems...
That's what I mean. Like, how do you look at that and say, you know what? I'll hop on to the back. I think we're good. I think we're good. We'll play some music and get some free donuts in 4 hours from right now.
Like, I need to know how people figured out where the end of the line was to line up for Krispy Kreme. Because, like you said, if you're like this was weaving around the block. If you had shut it down, that's what I mean. if you had driven the Krispy Kreme, and then you go by and you go, oh wow. That line is long.
What if you have twins? You could get in line, get one dozen donuts for free, get back in line for another.
Well, I think
dozen.
You have to be in your car.
And they ran out of donuts, too. I think they ran out of donuts was the other thing. I mean, they can't make that many donuts.
Why not? Just keep churning that thing. They tell you they ran out of donuts because they were giving them away for free.
Really?
Well, I mean, look, at some point your generosity and your kindness is tested, and your accountant walks in and says, hey, stop with the free donuts before we board this thing up.
I know gas is cheap. Aren't you burning as much gas in line, though, as you're saving on the donuts?
Boy, this has really got you twisted, doesn't it?
It does, because I hate lines. There's, like, probably the thing that drives me the most crazy, waiting in lines.
We've seen that on display at the airport.
Yes.
Yeah, where like your ticket says group two and you work your way in through
gotta
group one.
You got to act like you belong.
Abdallah and I are carrying helmets, footballs, and all kinds of stuff. Maybe just, you know, like, for example, coming back from the Super Bowl. And one of us is actually skipping people and going onto the plane in group one when he's got a group two ticket.
Act like you've been there. And that's we're what you actually. Do. They're not going to tell you you're not group two.
Well, it wasn't that, but Abdallah wasn't even getting on the plane because he had four bags filled with helmets and stuff. And he and I had to find a creative way to be allowed on the plane with the luggage we had.
Do you remember the Kentucky Derby when we had to take the. The bus back.
How pissed
we had
he was.
You guys abandoned me on the bus. You guys were three no, of you.
That happened because you were hopping lines back then.
Oh, then we had to wait in lines on the bus, and it took like for what should normally take a 10-minute drive. Took us what? Didn't it take an hour and a half to
Miller to fill out this conversation about coming back from the Super Bowl? So Abdallah and I get stopped because he's got three bags and I only
Abdallah's getting stopped every time.
Because we had too much carry on stuff and he had all kind of three. And so he and I had to spend 5 or 6 minutes reorganizing our bags and stuffing things in places before she finally let us on. We walk onto the plane 10 minutes after Sylvie, who's got, you know, a seat next to me, and he's sitting there chewing on his candy or his nuts. And, hey, where you guys been?
It took you so long.
I was like,
I had to reserve
what do you mean?
I had to reserve the overhead bin. I didn't want anyone to hog the overhead bin for
us. It was classic Mallory. He just strides right on through, and Abdallah and I are sitting there like children holding 60 bags trying to get on a plane.
Chad and Bourbonnais, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good.
Pissed.
So my daughter is a class of 2020 graduate from Bradley Bourbonnais Community High School.
All right. Congrats.
My son is a junior. His name's Caleb. And so he decided yesterday that he would take his sister all the way up to Homewood to get her free donuts. And they sat in line for over 2 hours to get their donuts. In fact, they were told that they were out of free donuts. My son said, that's okay, let's stay in line, I'll buy your donuts.
What a brother he is.
Getting up there, they gave him the free donuts anyway. You're right. We spent more money on gas and time than the donuts were worth. But that's a memory they will have for a lifetime together.
Okay.
Far worth the drive for free donuts.
I'll buy that then, Chad. During Perfect. The pandemic, we sat in line to honor our daughter slash sister, and we'll always remember. John, really quick in Orland Park. Johnny, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, hey, guys. I guess the promotion was for yesterday only, but they are special donuts. They kind of write out class of 2020 with the donuts, and they're available online. I ordered them this morning, and then we went and drove and picked them up curbside. So they're available all week.
Okay. That's a smarter play right there.
And there was no line today. You know, it was readily available.
That's so great. John, thanks.
Real quick, too, I picked up a Sylvie Strong T-shirt. So
hotcakes. John, really appreciate that. Yeah. And again, this all benefits the V Foundation. This isn't we're trying to pay it forward here. We're trying to honor a great charity where every dime goes to cancer research.
Hotcakes.
And then hopefully we could, from the Waddle and Sylvie Show, hand over a big check to the V Foundation for several thousand dollars. And I'm hoping to sell 1,000. And every proceed from Obvious Shirts, every cent that they make is going to the V Foundation. So go to obviousshirts.com. Michael Wilbon.
It's going to be like a Krispy Kreme line waiting to get your shirts. But you'll
get
them.
No, it won't because it's online and they're shipping it to you free. I said shipping.
I'm just saying we've got miles of people waiting to buy T-shirts. It's going like hotcakes.
Michael Wilbon joins us next. Is he shocked that there are so many unhappy people about The Last Dance? We'll pick his brain in 2 minutes.